Hi everyone, welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha. This week we're up to Parshas Metzora. We're still in the middle of the Tumah V'Tahara section in Sefer VaYikra, which we said is an outgrowth of the sin of Nadav and Aviyam after they come too close into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the wrong way. The Torah has to teach us what prevents us from going into the Mikdash and what allows us to go in, and those are these Tumah V'Tahara Parsha, which are the outgrowth of that sin. So this week's parsha is largely about Taras, which began actually in last week's parsha. Last week we spoke about a little bit how the Torah speaks of Taras on a person's body, then their clothing. This week we start the Tara process for a person that had Taras, and then it talks about Taras on a person's home and the Tara process from that. So the actual order that a person would get Taras, though, is an opposite order in which the Torah lists it. First, a person would get Taras on the walls of their home. Then, if they still didn't fix their ways, it would move on to their clothing. And only afterwards, it would move on to their skin or different parts of their body. The Torah lists it in the opposite order. Probably it goes from more severe to less severe. And in this week's parsha, we get up to Taras HaBayis. And maybe we could understand one of the questions that come up over here. The Torah discusses how when a person has Taras on the walls of their home, the way that the Torah describes it is that it's v'natati, almost like a gift. V'natati nega tzarah b'beit eretz achuzatchem. Almost the Hashem is giving them a present with this taras. And Rashi actually picks up on that word. It's in Pasuk Lamed Dalet, in Perek Yud Dalet. The Basura Hilit Lahem Shanagam Be'imalem. It's almost good news. You have taras on the walls of your home. And it's coming from that word, Venatati, which is a lashon of matana, a gift. So Rashi explains, based on the Medrash, that when they would get taras on their homes, they would have to destroy the home, take everything out, and destroy the walls of their home. And all of a sudden, they would discover all these treasures that were hidden in the underneath the home that the seven nations had hidden. When they heard B'nai Shah were coming in, they hide their treasures. And now only after we have Taras, we understand that we were living on top of these gifts. And so the person with Taras ends up with this huge treasure. I always struggled with this Rashi. Why does this person who has Taras and clearly was not acting appropriately and deserving of Taras, why is he rewarded with a gift? So after I understood the order, maybe we could explain that the person that nips the Taras in the bud, he doesn't let it go further. He picks up the warning signal that Hashem is giving him right away, so he's rewarded with that gift. Most people, maybe that you could ignore the signs on the walls of your home, and then it would move to their clothing, and then onto the person themselves, and then it can't be ignored anymore. But the person that picks up on that message right away and does something proactive about it and goes to the Kohen and tells him, it looks like there's Taras on the walls of my home. So that person's actually rewarded for fixing their behavior immediately. When we look at the reason for why a person has Taras, most of us are familiar with the reason that it comes from Lashon Hara. And when you look at Chazal on the topic of Taras, they have so many other explanations for why a person gets Taras. The Gemara in Erchin lists seven different sins for which a person was guilty of, and for that they could get Taras. The Medrash in VaYikra Rabba lists 10 different sins, and the Medrash Tanchuma lists 11 sins. So the one that we're the most familiar with is Lashon Hara, probably because Rashi is the one who brings it in, and we grow up on Rashi's Peirush Al HaTorah. And all of those Midrashim actually mention Lashon Hara. But there's another Mida or Chid over here that all of those three sources mention, and that is the sin of Ayin Ra. The sin or the negative character trait of having not a bad eye in terms of vision, but a bad eye in terms of a person's attitude and perspectives. And I think that that Mida is actually very much related to our parsha about the tarad on a person's home, the walls of their house. The Torah tells us that when a person would go to the Kohen and tell him that it looks like there's Taras on the walls of my home, come to diagnose it, come to be posik that it's actually Taras. So the Kohen would first command in Pasuk Lamed Vav, Tziva Hakohen Upinu Et Habayit B'Tayim Yevo Hakohen Lero. That before he comes, first he would have to, the person who owns the home, first has to empty out everything in the home, and only then he would come to diagnose and give the official psak that this is taras. And the Torah gives a pshat explanation, that way everything that's in the house doesn't become tummy. If he declares a tummy, the walls, then everything that's inside would also become tummy. That's the pshat explanation. And the other explanation we see in the Medrash tells us that the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that if a person would come to this person who owns the home and ask him, oh, you know, could I borrow your sweater? Could I borrow this tool that I'm looking to, that I need to use? So, unfortunately, some people don't want to lend out their things always. They're worried maybe it will get stretched out, maybe it will break, maybe they won't be as careful and gentle with it as I am. And so he would say, oh, I don't have that. Oh, I'm, you know, like it's dirty right now, or it's not available, I never own such a thing, maybe. And now, when the person is struck with taras on the walls of their home, they're forced to empty out everything they own. And now everyone sees, oh, actually, he did have that thing that I was looking to use. So the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos tell us that this is exactly what the Ayin Ra is. The Rabbeinu Yonah tells us in Pirkei Avos, in the second parak in Pirkei Avos, that one of the things that a person is praised for is to have an Ayin Tova, to have a positive view, a positive perspective. And Rabbeinu Yonah translates that Ayin Tova as the Midat HaNedivas, the quality of generosity, to be able to lend out whatever you have. You're not using it, of course I'm happy to give it to you. For sure you could use this and borrow this from me. The other Mefarshim explains differently. The Rambam explains that the Midah of Ayin Tova is the Midah of the Histapka B'Mashi Yesha, someone that, almost like Samech B'Chakla, someone that he has enough, he has everything, he's satisfied with what Hashem gave to him with his lap. And elsewhere in Pirkei Avos, actually in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, the Ayin Tova comes up again by the three midot that are counted for Tamid of Avram Avinu, someone that is considered a real Tamid of Avram. So one of the midot is an Ayin Tova, and Rashi over there explains that it's the midot of like Nechbad, a Chaviv Alav Kvod Chavir Kekvodo, someone that honors himself. And that's how he's able to actually honor other people. And so this Midah of Ayin Tova is about not just how your relationship with other people, how you view other people. And it's not just about your relationship with Hashem, how you view what Hashem gave you in a positive way. It's also about your relationship to yourself, to view yourself in a positive way, to view yourself as a dignified, worthy person that could go high places and is capable of unbelievable things. The Midah of Ayin Tova actually extends in all these three areas. In Ayin Tova to yourself, Bin Adam L'Asma, Bin Adam L'Chavira, and Bin Adam L'Makom. And so the person that has taras on the walls of their home, clearly something was lacking in their view, meaning they're not able over there. It's manifested in their Bin Adam L'Chavira, in their ability to be generous and share with other people. But the Chidushei Harim says that someone with Taras, or someone with an Ayin Ra, has a bad outlook in all three categories, meaning someone that is not able to see the good in themselves, it also affects how they're able to view other people, which ultimately affects how we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with Him. And we actually see a hint to this, that the Taras comes also from the Ayin Ra, which all three Midrashim list the Ayin Ra as one of the sins for which a person would be afflicted with Tzaras. And there's a hint to it actually at the end of last week's parsha when it's talking about the Tzaras that comes on a person's clothing. It says, V'hine lo hafach haneged eino. It's in Pasuk Nun Hei at the end of Perakid Gimel over there. If the nega didn't change his eino, which literally means his appearance, its appearance, the clothing still looks the same after you put it away for a certain amount of days. So be'esh tisrafena, the halach is that that article of clothing then has to be burned. The Chidushe Harim explains that it's a hint over here, v'nei lo hafachad eino, haneged eino, not just the nega didn't change its appearance, but the nega didn't change eino is actually the word ayin, it didn't change its eye, meaning you still have that negative outlook, you're still so pessimistic, you still can't see any good in yourself, you're still so hard on yourself, hard on other people, hard on Hashem. Be'ish tishrafenu, like, this is one of the most critical midot the Chidushei Harim says, and it relates very much to our topic of Tzaraat. And actually, if you look at the word nega, which is one of the main words that the Torah uses over here when it's talking about Tzaras, the word nega, if you switch the letters around, could actually spell something else as well. The word nega could also spell oneg, meaning a nega is the worst thing, an affliction. No one wants to be afflicted with anything, with sorrows, with hard things. That's a nega. But the best thing in the world is an oneg, a pleasure. It's like unbelievable teinug, and to be able to indulge in something, that's an oneg. So the difference between those words is actually just one letter. Where do you put the I in? Where do you put your I? Where do you put the letter I in, which also means an I? So the same exact thing for one person could be a nega, could be Gehenim, could be terrible. For another person, it could be an oneg, it could be the biggest pleasure, and the difference is really just in us, in our eye, and in how we view it in our perspective. And so Be'ezrat Hashem, as we read through these parshios of Tzaras, so it should help us to remind us that a main ingredient in our coming close to Hashem and in growing in general is that positive attitude, first to ourselves, then to other people, and ultimately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very quickly, I'll just mention at the end of the parsha, the Torah continues with this topic of Tumah V'Tahara, and it gets into the different fluids that come out of a man or a woman's body that make them Tameh or Tahor. And the most relevant to us today is the topic of Nida, and the Torah first begins to talk about an Isha Nida, Mida Reisa, and then it talks about the Zava Gadola. Today, actually, what we do, La Halacha, is a combination of those two situations that the Torah speaks about at the end of Perek Tevav. And one just brief question that comes up is, why is this in the first half of Sefer Vayikra? Obviously, we can understand why it's part of the Tumah V'Tahara section. A woman that's a Nida or a woman that's a Zava Gadola has a flow of blood for 3 days or more, so she's prevented from going into the Mikdash, and so that's why it's fitting into this section. But the relevance for us today is actually in marriage. And the second half of the Sefer is actually where we move outside of the Mikdash and all of the laws not in the Mishkan. And this set of laws about Nida actually would fit perfectly into the second half of the Sefer, into marriage and all the relationships that come up in Perek Yeteh and Bein Adam L'Chavira laws. And marriage is a very big part outside of the Mishkan. And so what are these set of laws doing over here in the Kedushat HaMishkan section, even though obviously we can understand the relevance to Tumah V'Tahara? So there's a comment that the Ramban makes at the end of his Hakdama on Sefer Shmos, where he talks about how when the Shechina returns to Klal Yisrael, at the end of Sefer Shmos, L'chvod Hashem Aleid HaMishkan, the Shechina finally comes back to Klal Yisrael. So he has this unbelievable comment over there where he writes, Ashavu Amalad Avotam, Shayasod Elohak Alei Oleihem, that when the Shechina came into the Mishkan, Bnei Yisrael returned to the greatness to the greatness that their forefathers had, the Shekhinah rested on their tents, meaning, and it's the opposite of how we actually think of it. Normally when a couple gets engaged or there's a wedding, so the bracha you give them is, oh, you should build a bayit nema bishal, you should have a mikdash ma'at, and we view almost the Jewish home and the Jewish marriage as emulating the Mishkan and trying to reach that kedusha. And what the Ramban is teaching us over here is that it's actually the opposite. The Mishkan is really just approximating the kedusha that existed in the tents of Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak, and Rivka, Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah, and that is actually the height of kedusha. The Mishkan is really just a simulation of that. It's trying to reach that highest height. And so when we talk about the Ishanida over here, which is actually preserving the Kedusha of the marriage relationship, so that is the Kedusha at HaMishkan. The first half of Sefer Yikra is all about the Kedusha and the Mishkan, the Karbano, the Tzema Batara, the Chanukah, the Mishkan. So the Ishanida over here is not just that this is like the Tzema Batara or a preventer going in. This is actually the Kedusha Mishkan itself. This is even higher than the Kedusha HaMishkan. The Kedusha HaMishkan is really just emulating that ultimate Kedusha that is supposed to exist in every Jewish home. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we shall be zocha to have that in our homes. Shalom Bayis and the Hashras Hashchina. And through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see the Kedusha that we're able to create and maintain in the Jewish home, and through that we should be zocha to an added kedusha of the Ashras Hashchina in the third base of Mikdash b'mhira b'yaminu. Amen. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos and a Chag Kasher v'Sameach.